Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and a very good morning to you on this Thursday, the 7th of January. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, two big stories from the Central African Republic. The return to democratic governance appears on course as vote counting continues in national elections.
We have Anicet Dologele in the lead, just ahead of another candidate, Foster Ntodoa, who is about 40,000 votes behind Dologele. And these two candidates are the ones that are looking to likely to go to a second round.
And in the same country, UN peacekeepers face fresh allegations that they sexually abused four young girls. We talk to the advocacy group AIDS Free World.
The problem is a system-wide problem of the United Nations, that when allegations arise, they're simply passed from desk to desk, that there's no one who's considered responsible.
We also have stories from Nigeria and South Africa. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Vote counting is continuing in the Central African Republic, with two former premiers neck and neck, according to partial results from elections which were held on December the 30th. Nearly 2 million people had registered to vote in the polls, which are intended to bring stability to the country after years of sectarian violence. I asked our correspondent in the capital, Bangui, Katharina Hoyer, to give us the latest on the vote count.
Well, with over 70% of the votes counted, we have Anicet Dologele in the lead, just ahead of another candidate, Foster Ntodoa, who is about 40,000 votes behind Dologele. And these two candidates are the ones that are looking to likely to go ahead to a second round. The other candidates are basically so far away that with less than one day until the National Electoral Committee have to reveal the results, they have no chance of catching up.
What's the mood like in Bangui at the moment?
People have high hopes ahead of these votes. There's, of course, also a lot of doubt. We know that the votes were taking place in a situation that was not ideal for holding elections. People are really believing or hoping that the elections will bring back peace and stability. And what they're also looking forward is to finally have an elected government in power.
Do you see the country becoming more tense in the period between the announcement of the first round results and the holding of the runoff?
There is certainly a risk. The two candidates in the lead are very close, and it will be a close race in the second round. What people are fearing, of course, that some of the armed groups and the militias who support one or the other candidate might either try to create some violence, might try to attack or disturb whatever election process will be going on. But what we also have seen is that a lot of the armed group leaders and also the smaller militias who are in Bangui and outside in the countryside, in smaller towns, are now backing the elections and supporting the electoral process, and have also said that they will help the voting go ahead.
So is the country relatively peaceful at this moment?
I would say the country is at peace, yes. There hasn't been any larger attacks since the referendums. There's, of course, smaller clashes and violence erupting sporadically, but there hasn't been any violence directed towards the elections. There hasn't been any violence directed towards polling stations or the voters, and the candidates have been able to campaign largely in peace, which is a huge step forward for the country.
Katharina Hoyer in Bangui. We stay in the Central African Republic, where UN peacekeepers are facing fresh allegations that they sexually abused four young girls. The problem is not new. Last month, an independent review panel accused the UN and its agencies of grossly mishandling allegations of child sex abuse by international peacekeepers in 2013 and 2014 in the very same country. The advocacy group AIDS Free World is running a campaign called Code Blue to try and stamp out sexual exploitation and abuse by UN peacekeeping personnel. The group helped to uncover those earlier cases of abuse. I asked one of their co-directors, Paula Donovan, what she could tell us about these latest allegations.
Well, we have very little information about the allegations other than what you've just reported, Mark, and that's one of the big problems, that these crimes that are committed by peacekeeping personnel are treated in a different way than sexual crimes are normally treated. The names of the perpetrators or the alleged perpetrators and even the nationalities, the countries that contributed these peacekeepers are kept quiet, and the authorities who would normally investigate, the police and law enforcement officials who would normally investigate such crimes, are held at bay. And what we've learned so far is simply that UNICEF, which has absolutely no criminal arm or investigative arm whatsoever, and the Office of the High Commission for Human Rights, the two entities that so mismanaged the allegations they learned about back in 2013, have now been invoked to talk to these young victims and to apparently collect evidence. It's just an entirely ad hoc and, it seems, illegal way of dealing with allegations of crimes.
Is this the fault of commanders on the ground? Is it the fault of the countries to whom the troops belong? Or is it some systemic fault in the United Nations?
It's a systemic fault in the United Nations, and that's what the report to which you just referred, this months-long report by three eminent judges, concluded, that the problem is a system-wide problem of the United Nations, that when allegations arise, they're simply passed from desk to desk, that there's no one who's considered responsible, and that the effort is all focused on maintaining the UN's reputation rather than on justice for the victims.
Why have there been so many allegations of sexual abuse in the Central African Republic?
There have been many allegations that we know of in the Central African Republic. That does not mean that there haven't been just as many allegations in other peacekeeping missions around the world. The fact is that when the media is focused on a particular country, and when a single allegation arises and comes to the public's attention, and the media sort of descend on that country and NGOs are on the alert, then the UN feels compelled to reveal other allegations that come forward.
Paula Donovan, co-director of AIDS Free World.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
In Nigeria, the visiting head of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, has said that her organisation wants to collaborate with the West African nation in tracing money that has been stolen and in stopping the seepage of funds through corruption. Her remarks came as the Nigerian authorities announced that a former defence minister and his son had been charged with criminal breach of trust and money laundering. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari came to power last May, pledging to fight corruption. Ben Chimang has the story.
On Tuesday, former Defence Minister Haliru Muhammad Bello and his son, Bello Abba Muhammad, appeared before a federal high court in Abuja with charge of criminal breach of trust and money laundering. The former minister said to have received close to 5 million euros from phantom arms deals with Colonel Sambo Dasuki, Nigeria's former national security advisor. Both father and son pleaded not guilty, and the case was adjourned until Thursday. Colonel Dasuki is also facing trial for embezzling about 1.6 billion euros in said arms deal. The money was meant for buying arms to fight Boko Haram. Winifred Ekanem Oyo Ita, head of the Federal Civil Service of Nigeria, told DW that corruption was deeply ingrained in Nigerian politics.
Corruption has eaten deep into every sector of Nigeria. But I believe that with the present administration, corruption will be, to a large extent, wiped out.
The list of those being prosecuted or investigated by Nigeria's anti-corruption agencies are many. And already, government critics are saying that the APC wants to silence the voice of the opposition. China Iwanyao is a chieftain of the opposition PDP party.
I have told you that there's no party called APC, Angry People's Congress. The point is that most of them were aggrieved members of PDP. It's important to note that APC cannot survive without PDP, because the impression given is that everybody in PDP is bad.
The Minister of Information, Lai Mohammed, categorically denied allegations that the anti-graft agencies are targeting opposition members.
This government is not micromanaging any of the anti-graft agencies. I know for a fact that they don't contact the president or anybody before they do their jobs.
President Muhammadu Buhari was elected into office last year with the promise that he would fight corruption. He changed the leadership of the anti-corruption agency and has since cracked down on cases of corruption under the former regime.
Ben Shimang in Abuja. Highly offensive remarks on social media by a white South African real estate agent about black South African beachgoers have sparked a storm of protest. South Africa's ruling ANC has said it is taking legal action against the woman who posted the comments and is lodging a complaint with the South African Human Rights Commission. The full story now from Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg.
Penny Paro's comments describing black beachgoers as monkeys renewed the old debate on racism in South Africa 20 years after apartheid. Renowned economist Chris Hart also added salt to injury, accusing victims of apartheid of assuming a sense of entitlement. Many South Africans angered over the comments took to social media to vent out their frustrations. Some are even threatening to attack Penny Sparrow. Mbalilang, a Johannesburg resident, says it is time to act.
Evidently, it seems like we're building this rainbow nation alone. So we're calling on society to begin to boycott all other companies that house and embrace racists.
Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, a spokesperson for the Economic Freedom Fighters Party, a party that frequently criticizes minority white South Africans for dominating the national economy, says these latest racist comments vindicates their party stance.
It signifies that we still live in a country that is essentially anti-black.
Real estate agent Penny Sparrow is a member of the main opposition Democratic Alliance Party, a white-dominated party. But the Democratic Alliance, DA, has distanced itself from Sparrow's remarks. DA member Dumisani Mngongo says Sparrow will be punished for her comments.
Our member in Gauteng, Herman Mashaba, have opened a criminal case against Penny. We really want to show to South Africans that there's no space for racism in South Africa. And also, this is an insult to all South Africans, especially the black majority, because her comments are actually dehumanizing the black majority in South Africa.
But legal expert Emma Sandler says current laws do not recommend harsh penalties for racist comments.
The definition of hate speech at the moment in the Equality Act is any content which is hurtful or harmful or incites violence on any of the protected grounds, race, gender, sexual orientation, and arguably so broad that it's unconstitutional. But is this hurtful and is this harmful? Absolutely.
The African National Congress, ANC, the ruling party of post-apartheid South Africa, is now calling for a new law that provides harsher punishment for racist comments. Since the ANC has an absolute majority in parliament, introducing such laws to the country's law books could take absolutely no time.
Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg. And now, as always on a Thursday, a second chance to hear this week's instalment of Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hey there, welcome to the second part of Crime Fighters on the Trail of the Poachers. In the little African town of Bovu, unemployed veterinarian Patrick has just been murdered. His wife Lucy is the main suspect, and Detective Allen has arrested her. But evidence at the crime scene suggests that other unknown persons may have been involved. Let's join Allen in today's episode, I Didn't Do It. He's just arriving at the office he shares with Carl, a detective who works with the anti-poaching department.
Hey, good morning, Alan.
Hi, Carl.
I've heard you're caught up in some messy homicide. A friend of yours, I believe.
Don't even mention it. I've known them both since high school.
Them?
Yes. The victim, Patrick, and his wife, Lucy. Years ago, I even had a brief romance with Patrick's sister, Mona.
Okay, that's interesting.
It gets worse. Lucy, the victim's wife, is our prime suspect.
Wow. That's really messy, Alan. And you're still going to investigate? Even though you know them personally?
Yeah, but enough about me. What are you up to in the anti-poaching department?
We are hunting that notorious poacher, Mr. G. You must have heard about him.
Ah, yeah. The infamous Mr. G. Everybody's heard of him, but nobody seems to know his identity.
That's the one. We got an anonymous tip that he was hunting in Bovu Jungle. But when we got there, all we found was some dead elephants. They had just been killed, and their tusks had been sewn off.
See, Carl, there is way more action in your department. You get to drive off into the jungle while I get fat sitting at my desk talking to suspects the whole day.
Well, I'd better get back to work. I have an appointment this afternoon with Dr. Susan Galana, the wildlife conservationist. Let's see whether she has any tips that will help me crack down the poachers. See you later.
See you. I'm off to interrogate my main suspect, Lucy.
Good luck with that.
Is Alan really going to get any new information from Lucy? Remember, Lucy's neighbor has accused her of killing Patrick.
Hello, Lucy. Are you right? Off the record, because you and I have known each other a long time, tell me what you know about Patrick's murder so that I can help you.
I didn't do it, Alan. I didn't do it. You have to believe me.
Okay, calm down, Lucy. Just calm down and tell me what happened.
I just came home and there he was, lying in a pool of blood. My husband dead.
Okay. Hey, shh. Just start from the beginning. Tell me, what time did you come home? Lucy, come on.
I came home after work.
Can anyone confirm this? Did you meet someone on your way from work to home?
Yes. No, I don't know, Alan.
This is important, Lucy. Please, try to remember, then tell me.
The only thing I can think about right now is that my husband's been taken from me.
And why did you try to run when we found you at the crime scene? Lucy, you have to talk to me. I want to help you. You know that Patrick was my friend.
I ran because I don't know. I just didn't want to see it. I was confused. I didn't know what to do.
We have a witness who says you and Patrick were fighting and you threatened to kill him.
Yeah, we had a fight. Every couple fights now and then. And yes, I did say I wanted to kill him, but I didn't mean it. I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Patrick.
Lucy, there are several things that point to you. We found your fingerprints on the knife that killed Patrick.
I didn't do it. I did not kill my husband, Alan.
Do you have any idea who else could have murdered him? Did he have any enemies?
Enemies? No. Everybody liked Patrick.
Okay, Lucy. We'll talk some more later. Try to calm down now and get some rest.
And as the wheels of justice grind away, people in the formerly sleepy town of Bovu are getting on with life as if nothing had happened. Dr. Susan Galana is an environmental activist who runs a non-governmental organization to protect wildlife. Alan's colleague, Carl, from the anti-poaching department, has come to meet her in her office.
Thank you for seeing me, Dr. Susan.
Not at all, officer. We applaud you and your department and all the efforts you're making to wipe out poaching.
Thanks. Well, as you might know, one of our biggest headaches is a poacher who goes by the name Mr. G.
Uh-huh.
He's been a thorn in our side for a long time.
Yeah, I've heard of this elusive Mr. G. Nobody seems to know who he really is. If there's anything my organization can do to help you catch him, we'd be more than willing.
I'm glad you say that, Dr. Susan. Unfortunately, we're not well equipped to tackle poaching in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have cars to go deep into the jungles of Bovu.
Oh, no. That really is a problem. And poachers are very sophisticated operators nowadays.
We're planning a raid in Bovu jungle.
A raid?
Yes. To try and capture Mr. G and his helpers. We were wondering whether you'd be able to lend us your organization's helicopter for aerial surveillance.
Look, Officer Carl, is it?
Yes.
We can talk about it. It depends when you would need it.
All right.
And of course, I'll have to talk to the board before making a decision like that. I'll let you know what they say. But in the meantime, if there's any other way I can help you, please let me know.
Thank you. I will. Goodbye, Dr. Susan.
Goodbye, Officer.
But while Carl and Dr. Susan are planning how to stop them, the poachers themselves are already deep in the jungle, on the lookout for elephants.
There, there. Do you see them? They are huge.
Oh, mother of God. Look at that bull.
Shh, you'll spook them. Great. See what you've done.
What? What have I done?
You spooked them, you idiot.
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything? How many times have I told you not to speak loudly when we are hunting? Elephants are very sensitive animals. They can hear things from miles away. You might as well just ring a bell next time so they know we are coming.
I am sorry.
Yeah, well, tell that to our boss, Mr. G. What do you think he will do to us when he hears we lost the big tusker again?
Look, I am sorry, okay? It's not like I've done any poaching before. I just started.
Yeah, and by the looks of things, you won't last very long.
I am sorry.
We'll have to follow those elephants' tracks and radio Mr. G when you find them. He wants to kill that bull himself.
So now we have two mysteries to unravel. Who killed Patrick? Was it Lucy or someone else? And who is Mr. G? Join us next time in On the Trail of the Poachers for more clues. In the meantime, you can visit our website dw.com/crimefighters or like us on Facebook. Bye-bye.
A reminder of our main stories. Vote counting is continuing in the Central African Republic, where a runoff appears almost certain, with two former premiers running neck and neck. In the same country, UN peacekeepers are facing allegations that they sexually abused four young girls. And in Nigeria, a former defence minister has been charged with money laundering and criminal breach of trust. We welcome your comments on our programme. You can send a letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a text message to 49160 957 59510. From me, Mark Caldwell, bye now.